They're going to talk about your character. They're going to talk about the way that you look. They're going to demean you, and they're going to drag you down. And so at that point, God was speaking to my heart and telling me that I got to bring healing in the lives of these young men.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today as we continue to look at Psalm 11, a message titled Godly Influence, Part 2. Before we begin today's message, we've been offering a book that I've written, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. And in this book, we answer your questions about heaven straight from the Bible. So get your copy of Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Now join us for the first half of Psalm 11, Godly Influence, Part 2.
And so we're going to pick up Part 2 this morning. But in Psalm 11, we read, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may secretly shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the children of men. The Lord testeth the righteous, but the wicked and him who loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked shall he rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. And we kind of got into this message last week based on some of the events that happened in our country, especially with the killing of two African-American men by the police, and then by the police in Dallas being killed and wounded. And we just looked at the situation. And then when we continue to look at stuff that's going on in our country today, when we look at politics and politicians and see all the corruption that's there, we said it makes you just want to holler and throw up both your hands. Makes you just want to holler and throw up both your hands. And so we're going to continue part two of the message this week. We looked at verse 3, and it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we see that the foundations are, when we looked at the definition of the foundations last week, that the foundations, the word foundations in Psalm 11 in verse 3, refer to the law and order that's based in God's rule. That in this society, in this theocratic society of Israel, where God ruled, that the foundations were rooted and grounded in the laws and order of God. But we see what has happened is that we've moved far away from that, especially over the years. And now as we come to this place as a country, we've moved away from the foundations of God's rule in society. And so when we look around, we see in government crumbling foundations. The foundations are crumbling all around us. We see a lack of integrity in the government. We see the government redefining marriage. When we look at our society today, the crumbling foundations are further evidenced by police killing citizens and citizens killing police. We see terror attacks. We see a rise in drug and alcohol use, that the foundations are crumbling all around us. And then we look at the home. We see in the home there's abuse. We see there's rebellion. We see all type of sin and evil going on in the home. and the foundations are crumbling in the home. And not even to talk about the church. And I gave those statistics last week about things that are going on in the church and how that 57% of those who say that they are evangelical Christians believe that there's other ways to get to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. And so we see that the foundations are crumbling all around us. Now, the problem is this, is that when the foundation begins to crumble, as you can see in the picture up on the projection unit, that when the foundation begins to crumble, it's just a matter of time before the house collapses. And so that's true not only in society, but that's true even in your life. If you came to be a child of God and you're not spending any time with God in prayer, you're not spending any time in His Word, you're not spending any time in worship and fellowship, what is happening is that the very foundations of your life are beginning to be destroyed. And as the foundations are being eaten away at, you know, Jesus said that when you pray, that you should go into your closet and pray. So when we are on the right foundation, our closet is strong. Our closet is one that is used to make a difference in the world. But when we are not doing the spiritual disciplines that God called us to do, then what begins to happen in the closet? Because the spiritual life, the spiritual disciplines of the child of God begin to erode. They begin to corrupt. And it's not too much longer that your house will begin to fall, and that you will find yourself caught up in things that you never thought that you would be caught up in. And so we need to understand that the foundations are very important, and that when the foundations crumble, it's only a matter of time before the house begins to collapse. And so when we looked at Psalm 11 last week, we saw two things. We saw the recommendation of the fearful, that when the foundations begin to crumble, the fearful say in verses 1 and 2, flee like a bird to the mountain. Become uninvolved. Become detached. Get away. You can't make a difference, so you might as well just flee to the mountains. And then last week we looked at the second thing that they said, that they, if you go back to that, the second thing they said is there is nothing that the righteous could do. We said that when they asked the question in Psalm 11, they said if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, they weren't really asking the question. They were just making a statement in the form of the question. Hey, you know, the foundations are being destroyed. There's nothing we can do. What can we do? They're being destroyed. And the sad fact of the reality is that's the mentality of a lot of people today. That's the mentality of a lot of Christians today. What can we do? The foundations are crumbling. This thing is too far gone. I shared with you last week how that there were some things I saw going on in the world, and I just felt that, well, you know, that's too far down the road, that we can't make a difference in that anymore. And I almost threw up my hands like Marvin Gaye. It made me just want to holler and throw up both my hands. But then God began to speak to my heart. God began to convict me because I found myself falling into that second point right there. The foundations are destroyed. There's nothing that the righteous can do. But I want to share with you today, there are some things that the righteous can do. And so we see here that we don't want to follow the recommendation of the fearful, but we want to have the response of the faithful. And again, you know, we looked at this last week, so I'm not going to rehash in detail, but just to give the outline, we said that we got to trust the true foundation. What does Scripture say in verse 4? The Lord is in His holy temple. That God's foundation is not shaken. Even though foundations here on this earth are destroyed, God's foundation is not destroyed. And he even went on to say, God is in his holy temple. The Lord is still on his throne. And then we got to trust in God's omniscience, that he knows it all. And that even though it looks bad, God knows what's going on. It's not taking God by surprise. He's not up in heaven saying, oh my, I didn't know that was going to happen. God is omniscient, and he knows everything. And then we need to trust in God's righteousness. So that was the thing that we talked about last week. Now, what can we do? As God's people, what can we do? So, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot. That you are the salt of the earth. Now the foundations are being destroyed. That they're being destroyed. No question about that. So do we take the words of the fearful and the psalmist and flee to the mountains? Do we take that attitude that there's nothing I can do and throw up our hands? No. We have to realize that we are the salt of the earth. And there's one thing that we need to understand about being the salt of the earth. The salt has to get out of the salt shaker. We just can't sit up in church and have a good time and become salty and salt each other and come Sunday by Sunday and say, man, you sure all salty this morning. That, you know, it's good to sit beside somebody that's salty. And we here salting up everybody in the church. And we're staying in the salt shaker. And Jesus said, you got to get out of the salt shaker and you got to get into the world. And so as we get out of the salt shaker, I've come up with this word, and it's called help. The word help, H-E-L-P, that you got to get out of the salt shaker. And these are four things that salt does. Salt heals. Salt conserves. Salt complements. And salt cleanses. Now think about that. Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. And that as you begin to shake out into the world, out of you ought to come some healing. Out of you ought to come some conservation. Out of you ought to come some complement. Out of you ought to come some cleansing if we are the salt of the earth. Well, the first thing we see is that salt heals. Salt heals. And if you look in your notes, you see here that under heal, salt is a curing agent. The phrase, take it with a grain of salt, was used to refer to salt's healing properties. To eat or drink something with a grain of salt was to practice preventative medicine. One would do this if they were suspicious that the food might be poisonous or cause illness. And so what they would do was take it with a grain of salt. And so we use that expression today, and you know, some of these phrases, you know, we don't necessarily know the origin of them, but that's where the origin of that comes. It meant that, you know, there's a possibility that you might get sick, or that if there's some potential cause of illness, that if you take a grain of salt, that it will prevent the illness from coming. And so we see that salt has a healing capacity. It has a healing capacity. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. That you got to get out there and you got to begin to heal some of our places in society that are damaged. There's a strange sign when you go to Vienna, Austria, and it's translated from the German. And it says, welcome to Vienna, where the salt is still in the salt shaker. Now, that's a sign that's right there where everybody can see. And somebody will say, well, of course the salt is still in the salt shaker, but what does that mean? Where else should it be? And the reason that they have this sign, because you go to, you know, Venice, there are beautiful streets. And the reason that they have this sign that the salt is still in the salt shaker is because in the wintertime, they let people know that they don't put salt down on the roads, that is still in the salt shaker, so that our roads stay beautiful. But this is the problem sometimes with God's people, is that we want to stay beautiful. We want to have beautiful streets. And so we keep the salt in the salt shaker so that we don't mess up the streets. But the salt, Jesus says, is no good in the shaker, and you got to be shaken out, and you got to provide some healing. God has called you to be a healer. When was the last time that you touched somebody that was discouraged? When was the last time you encouraged those who were feeble? And you have uplifted the arms of those who are downtrodden. That God calls us to be healers. You know, I was thinking, that as fathers, that in the home, you know, we are called to be healers. I've told this story before, but when we first moved to Pittsburgh over 26 years ago, and it's hard to believe, 26 years, time sure flies when you're having fun. And when we first moved here, we came. I was pastoring a church way out in the country, and so you know, we weren't up on all the latest fashion trends and things of that nature. And so when we came, you know, my sons, they were wearing some no-name brand tennis shoes, and some of the kids started making fun of their tennis shoes. And I remember, you know, it was on a Wednesday night, and we got in the car that Wednesday night going home. And I remember, my one son, he was angry, and he was ready to go fight people. And my other son, he was just heartbroken, and he tears started coming to his eye. And I began to tell him that, you know, they're talking about your tennis shoes now. I said, but at some point, they're going to say worse things to you about that. They're going to talk about your character. They're going to talk about the way that you look. They're going to demean you, and they're going to drag you down. And so at that point, God was speaking to my heart and telling me that I got to bring healing in the lives of these young men. And I believe that's part of the problem that we have today, is that there's a lot of fathers that's not in the home, and they're not bringing healing to some of these young men. And that's why we see them out here doing just about everything. And so God has called us as leaders, as Christians, to bring healing to those that we touched. When was the last time you spoke a word of healing to somebody? This is a hurting world. This world is a hurting place. And God has placed people all around us. You know, there was a man that was in Texas, and he was driving along, and he had an accident. He ran into the trailer full of horses. And, he was hurt. I mean, the guy got hurt. But about a month later, he turned in his insurance form. And the insurance company said, now, when this accident first happened, you didn't report anything. You act like nothing had happened to you. And now you're turning the claim. Why are you doing that? And the man said, well, he said there was a horse that was laying on the side of the road. And because he was injured, you know, they went over and shot him to put him out of his misery. And then somebody came over and saw me rolling on the side of the road and asked me if I was all right. I said, I'm fine. But you know, that goes to prove that sometimes the church, instead of being a healing agent, that we shoot the wounded. When they're laying on the ground, when they're hurting, instead of bringing healing into their life, that we shoot them. God help us to realize that one reason that the world is in the condition that it's in today is because God's people are not exercising the healing agent that Christ has called them to be. Yeah, I was thinking about a verse in Romans chapter, is it Romans? No, it's not Romans. I'm going to tell you what it is in a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, what is Paul saying? He said, man, we got problems on every side. Everywhere we look, we got problems. And not only that, but as we go around, we are carrying about death in our body. Man, we are hurting, Paul said. We are hurting. That we are going through things that are unimaginable. You know, we got uptown problems, downtown problems, crosstown problems. We got problems coming from every direction. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we who live always are always delivered unto death. Look at this. Always, Paul said, that we are on the brink of death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. But then look at verse 12. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. What does Paul say? Watch this. Don't miss this now. Paul said, we are wounded healers. That we are going through our own personal pain. That we are going through our own struggles. I'm standing here to tell you today that as a pastor, I go through stuff. I have problems. I have times of disappointment. I have times of discouragement. But yet and still, I have people that come and they're looking for answers. People who are hurting. And they want to hear a word from the Lord. And sometimes you're a wounded healer that you are hurting. But God does not call you to just sit, soak, sour, and stink in your own hurt. God said, Paul said, we are wounded healers. We got all kind of problems. Man, if we would take a poll this morning, there's probably people here with all kind of problems. And we can become so absorbed in our own problems that we forget the fact that Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And that you are called to be a healing agent in this earth. No matter the fact, regardless of the fact that you are hurting, that you got to keep on. You got to press on. Sometimes you got to be like the boxer in the ring. And sometimes the boxer, gets punched in the stomach, gets punched in the face. And sometimes you might have to go sit in the corner and get yourself back together again. You get back in there, get in the word, get in prayer, just begin to regroup and refocus. And then I'm back. But you got to get back out there. See, this is the problem. If the world continues at the pace that it's going, and this, just look, sometimes I hate to even turn my television on. Because you see, man, this thing is headed down quick, fast, and in a hurry. And if God's people, if we just soak in our own problems, then we're adding to the problem. Because we have, you heard the story about the man walking along the beach, right? And he was throwing back starfish.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion coming from Psalm 11, Godly Influence, Part 2. If you would like to request a copy of today's message, Godly Influence, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org or you can call us at 877-831-5060. And it's also there where you can request a copy of the book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that are listed there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. My brothers and sisters, the reason that we are on the air is because of you. And so I would like to thank all of you who give to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, and want to let you know that if you want to make a financial contribution to this ministry, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can call us, or you can send it to P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.